morning you have a child that would like to have your child kindergarten through second grade in children's church with our children, they're welcome to join our children and our ministry staff as they head out the door. And they will be downstairs in our ministry, children's ministry department for the remainder of the hour. In this calendar year, we have been looking at Bible characters. As a church, we are reading through the chronological Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And we're in coming to the end of the Chronicles and the Kings and now engaging the prophets. And we're looking each week at different people so that we can understand their place in God's story and then in turn maybe discover something about our place in God's story. Now, this next month, in the month of July, as we look at characters, we're going to be looking at a number of prophets. But the overarching theme of our study in the character of the prophets is that God is a God of second chances. Isn't that good news? That God would give us a second chance? For some of us, it's that he gives us a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth chance. But God is a God of a second chance, and we're going to be looking at that as we look at individual prophets in the month of July as we continue to discover our place in God's story. Today, as we look at the book of 2 Chronicles and come to chapter 22 and verse 10, we're looking at Jehoiada. Jehoiada. Not a person necessarily that was on your radar as a person that should be studied in the Bible, but for those of you who are reading through the scriptures in the chronological fashion, maybe you were struck by his story in the scriptures in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 10. Usually when we're reading through the Kings and Chronicles, our focus is on the kings. And we note that king after king after king, without exception in the northern kingdom of Israel, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And in the southern kingdom, in Jerusalem, there were a number of kings, yet you can count them on one hand, who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and fathered in the ways of their father David. But today we look at a priest, Jehoiada, which means the Lord knows. His name means the Lord knows. That's good news for parents as you're parenting, that you can remind your children. You may think you've gotten away with something, and you may, in fact, put one past me, but you're not going to get it past the Lord, because the Lord knows. Now, today we want to look at Jehoiada's example, because he serves us as an example of a spiritual parent in the scriptures. The key text in this section of scripture, moving from chapter 22, verse 10 to 24:22, is found in 2 Chronicles 24 at verse 2. And it simply reads, Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada the priest. Joash is numbered as one of the kings that did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And yet the qualifying statement is important in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 at verse 2. All the years of Jehoiada the priest. So as behind the king Joash and him doing right in the eyes of the Lord is a spiritual parent, one who stood in the gap on behalf of Joash and influenced him in the ways of the Lord. Here's our proposition for today. You can exercise a godly influence on the next generation by following Jehoiada's example and serving as a spiritual parent for a child. go back to that verse just for a second. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada the priest. So how is it that we can follow Jehoiada's example? What is it that we should be paying attention to in this text? And if you don't have your own Bible with you, you can pull out the Pew Bible, and we're looking at, in my Pew Bible, it's page 360, where 2 Chronicles chapter 22 appears. But the first aspect of Jehoiada's example is this. Jehoiada, and so we as spiritual parents, can influence the next generation by, first of all, coming alongside a child in need. Coming alongside a child in need. And that's exactly what Jehoiada did on behalf of Joash. Joash, in the introduction of the story, is an infant being cared for by a nurse in the royal nursery. And he's a child in need. Listen to what the scripture says about his need. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, Ahaziah was king of Judah, Athaliah, the queen mother, proceeded to destroy the royal family of the house of Judah. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, took Joash, son of Ahaziah. In other words, his aunt took her nephew and stole him away from the royal princes who were about to be murdered and put him and his nurse in a bedroom because Jehosheba was the daughter of King Joram and wife of the priest Jehoiada. Ahaziah's sister, she hid the child from Athaliah so she could not kill him and remained hidden with them at the temple of God for 6 years while Athaliah ruled in the land. Joash's great-grandfather was King Jehoshaphat. He was one of those kings that did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He was one of those kings who followed in the way of his father David. But one mistake that King Jehoshaphat made, and it's recorded at the end of 2 Kings, was that he made a treaty with King Ahab of Israel. Now, Ahab's wife was Jezebel. I'm pretty confident that there isn't a Jezebel in our midst today. Anyone named Jezebel? No. And if you are, you're raising your hand. We just don't name people Jezebel. Why? Because she was an evil, wicked queen in Israel. And so Jehoshaphat made this treaty with King Ahab. And to seal the treaty, he had his son Jehoram marry one of their daughters, Athaliah. And so Jehoram, Jehoshaphat's son, is married to Athaliah, Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. Now, when Jehoshaphat dies, Jehoram becomes king. Only he didn't follow in the ways of his father Jehoshaphat. He followed in the ways of the kings of Israel. And he worshipped Baal, and he did evil, and the scripture records, because his mother was the daughter of King Ahab, the granddaughter of King Omri, and Queen Jezebel of Israel. So he was more influenced by his mom than his grandfather. So when Jehoram became king, in 2 Chronicles 21 at verse 24, Jehoram murders all of his brothers so that there can be no competition for the throne. And 1 year later, he's assassinated. And his son, Ahaziah, becomes king and reigns one year before he dies. of an assassination. Actually, Jehoram died of disease, and the scripture records when he died, no one was sorry. How would you like the word of God to say that about your life? He died and no one was sorry. That's Jehoram. His son Ahaziah becomes king, reigns 1 year, and is assassinated. And Joash is his son. Jehosheba is Joash's aunt, Ahaziah's sister. And when Ahaziah dies, Queen Athaliah then becomes ruler in Judah, in Jerusalem, by killing off all the royal sons. But Jehosheba and her husband Jehoiada came alongside a child in need. Jehosheba, Ahaziah's sister, rescues Ahaziah's infant son Joash from the hands of Athaliah, and they keep him hidden for 6 years. Jehoiada, the priest, with his wife, come alongside this child and rescue him. They come alongside a child in need and rescue him, and because his parents are dead and his grandmother is wicked, they raise him in their home, in the temple. Point of application at this point. There are children in the 21st century living in your neighborhood who could benefit from the godly influence of a godly man or woman in their lives. All you have to do is look around your neighborhood, and there may be children who you could invite to Sunday school or to Awana or Vacation Bible School or Freaky Fun Camp. One of the blessings of this past year was that God put it on the heart of one of our church members to pick up some kids for Awana. And one of those young men is here today as a Christ follower because of that. There are other children, other boys and girls who could use an invitation to Sunday school. Now, there is a lesson there. You need, Caitlin would say, I remember, Caitlin, when you commented that one of the lessons learned was that you probably should check with parents before you let kids into the church band. Good idea. So if you're going to invite someone to Sunday school or to Awana or Vacation Bible School, before they pile into the church van or pile into your car, you might want to ask mom and dad. Just wisdom. So look around your neighborhood. Another way to discover boys and girls that God might use you as a godly influence in their lives is to volunteer to serve in children's ministry. Is Jen in the room? Jen may be down with children's ministry right now. I was looking for the amen. You can say amen, Rick, in her stead. Amen? All right. You can volunteer to serve in children's ministry. Children's church, Sunday school, Awana, Vacation Bible School, Freaky Fun Camp, you name it. There's an opportunity for you to volunteer and serve and make a difference in the life of a child. Now, to do that, you need to submit to the child protection policy and background check. Because we as a church are committed to providing a safe and welcoming environment for children to experience the certainty of God's word, the love of Christ, and the joy of following Jesus. But we want to come alongside children that we might have the opportunity to be a godly influence in their lives and thereby impact the next generation. You can do that by keeping your eyes open for children and volunteering and serving children that are already here. D.L. Moody shares the story of a neighborhood boy attending Sunday school in Chicago. And D.L. Moody served in the 19th century as an evangelist, primarily in Chicago. And he tells the story of a neighborhood boy attending Sunday school in the city of Chicago. And it came time, his family, because of his father's work, moved to another part of the city, miles from the Sunday school that he attended. But every week, as often as it was possible, that young boy would walk the miles to go to his Sunday school. One Sunday in his new neighborhood, a woman was picking up children for Sunday school and asked him where he was going. And he said, "I'm going to Sunday school." And she said, "Where are you going to Sunday school?" And he said where he was going to Sunday school. And she said to him, "Why are you going so far? There are plenty of Sunday schools right here in this neighborhood. And they're just as good." And the boy replied, "They may be as good, but they're not good for me." And she says, "Why not?" And he replies, "Because I know that I'm a kid who's loved over there." And D.L. Moody makes the note how easy it is to reach people through the love of Christ. I'm reminded of a time when I was interim pastor in Schiller Park, Illinois, during my senior year of seminary, and one Wednesday evening during prayer meeting, a 40-year-old man came in and sat in the back and afterwards wanted to talk to the pastor. And then we met in the pastor's study, and he shared his story, how that in the last year or so, he had lost his marriage to divorce. He had lost his job. He had lost his children. And he didn't know what to do. And he said, "Then I remembered that I grew up in this neighborhood. And I came to Awana at this church. And I thought to myself, if there was any place where I would find the truth, it would be here, because the people cared for me." And that night, as a 40-year-old man, he prayed to trust Christ. Because someone, when he was a child, showed him the love of Christ. We want to be a welcoming environment for children to experience the certainty of God's word, the love of Christ, and the joy of following Jesus. So we need you to influence a child for Christ by, first of all, seeing children who need Christ and willingly entering their lives to come alongside them as a spiritual parent. Second lesson from Jehoiada's example: spiritual parents influence the next generation by modeling faith in Christ. Jehoiada was a devout follower of the Lord, and therefore a model of faith to those who were witness to his life, including a young boy in his home who was with him day after day in the temple from infancy to age 8. Notice in the text these things about Jehoiada's devotion to the Lord that were visible to Joash. Jehoiada believed in and was fully devoted to the Lord's promise. It was the Lord's promise that was his motivation to save Joash's life in the first place with his wife. Notice in the 7th year, this is in 2 Chronicles 23 at verse 1. In the 7th year, Jehoiada showed his courage or his strength. He made a covenant with the commanders of units of 100. Azariah, son of Jehoram, Ishmael, son of Jehonah, Azariah, son of Obed, Messiah, son of Adoniah, and Elishaphat, son of Zichri. And they went throughout Judah, and they gathered the Levites and the heads of the Israelite families from all the towns. And when they came to Jerusalem, the whole assembly made a covenant with the king at the temple of God. Jehoiada said to them, "The king's son shall reign," notice this, "as the Lord promised concerning the descendants of David." Jehoiada believed in and was fully devoted to the Lord's promise. He knew that the rightful heir to the throne was a son of David. Second characteristic of Jehoiada's devotion. Not only was he devoted to the Lord's promise, but he was devoted to being one of the Lord's people. In 2 Chronicles 23 at verse 16, Jehoiada brings the assembly together of leaders with the king, and he says, "Let's covenant with the king and with the people of Judah to be the Lord's people. We're not going to be Baal's people. We're not going to be people of the Asherah. We're not going to be people of Dagon. We are going to be Yahweh's people, the Lord's people." Jehoiada's devotion was further demonstrated in his removal and destruction of the Temple of Baal in Jerusalem. Athaliah, daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, had built a temple to Baal in Jerusalem. And they had pilfered the temple of the Lord to do it. And now Jehoiada takes the lead in demolishing the temple of Baal in Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 23:17. His devotion to the Lord is further exemplified in the restoration of biblical worship that Jehoiada undertook. And the record of Scripture in 2 Chronicles 23:18 is this: Jehoiada placed the oversight of the temple of the Lord in the hands of the Levitical priests to whom David had made assignments in the temple to present the burnt offerings of the Lord as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and singing as David had ordered. He had restored biblical worship in the Lord's temple. That was Jehoiada's example. But the truth is that you can influence a child for Christ by being a model disciple, by being a model Christ follower, by demonstrating wholehearted devotion to Jesus Christ, such that it is witnessed by those who are watching you, your own children, your own grandchildren, nieces, nephews, family, co-workers. And if you're willing to engage the children in your neighborhood, those children and their parents, and if you're willing to volunteer and serve in children's ministry, the children that God brings into the family at First Free, we'll have a chance to witness your love for Christ as well, because you're a model Christ follower. John Leach, he's not a defensive back for the Seattle Seahawks. John Leach was an artist. He was a caricaturist. He lived from 1817 to 1864. So well before us. But he was a Christ follower, and in his home, he is noted for a method of disciplining his children that was highly effective. If his children were angry, if his children were pouting, if his children were rebellious, he would pull out his sketchbook. He would pull out his sketchbook and he would go to work and he'd draw a picture of their face. And then he'd pull them over and say, "When you're angry, this is what you look like. When you're pouting, this is what you look like. When you don't get your way, this is what you look like." And he taught them that the attitude of their heart was reflected on their face. and was seen by all. Now, those of you who are skilled artists and have a sketch pad with you, you can raise your hand. You can be a gift to others. How many of you have a smartphone with you? How many of you have a phone with a camera with you, I should say? Yeah, there you go. So, you know, you don't need a sketch pad. Praise God. I don't need a sketch pad. You can just take a picture. You might want to just do that right now. Turn to the person next to you and take a picture of them. Take a picture of the person sitting next to you and say, "You are a model Christ follower. Look at the radiance of Christ's glory on your face." And if it's a scowl, then you can say, "Oh, you're not the real deal, huh?" John Leach, what a dad. His children were able to see the sinfulness of sin in their attitudes on their faces. And the truth is that grown-up people like us need to see ourselves as others see them. And that might be painful at times. But we need to see ourselves as others see us. When we're mad, what do our faces look like? When we're pouting, what do our faces look like? When we don't get our way, what do our faces look like? Allow our children to take pictures of us, okay? Say, if you see Dad grumpy, take a picture. Show me. There you go. That'll help your sanctification. We want to be models of Christ who, on our faces, we've seen the joy of Christ, the gratitude of one who knows the grace and mercy of God, and the love of Christ for those who need a Savior. Third aspect of Jehoiada's example, spiritual parents influence the next generation by mentoring a child. Jehoiada came alongside Joash. Jehoiada lived his devotion for the Lord before Joash. But then during his reign as king, when Joash was 8 years of age, sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, until Jehoiada died at the age of 130. Imagine that. He died at the age of 130. Talk about a lifelong influence. From the time that Joash was king at age 8 to the time of Jehoiada's death at age 130, Jehoiada exercised influence on King Joash by mentoring a child. In 2 Chronicles chapter 23 at verse 11, it says, Jehoiada and his sons brought out the king's son and put a crown on him, and they presented him with a copy of the covenant and proclaimed him king. And they anointed him and shouted, "Long live the king." At age 8, he'd already been in their home for 7 years in the temple. Now at age 8, he's the king. And Jehoiada's first public gift to King Joash is a copy of God's word. In the NIV, it says the covenant, but the word there in Hebrew literally means testimony. The same word used by Moses to speak of the tablets containing the Ten Commandments. The same word used by the psalmist to describe the law of God as a whole, the testimony. Jehoiada likely gave Joash a copy of the Torah, according to Deuteronomy 17:18. Now, probably Joash at age 8 didn't know how to write. I don't know. But Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18 calls for the king, when he becomes king, to be given a scroll, a blank scroll, by the Levites, and then to write his own personal copy of the Torah, of the Word of God. In this case, Jehoiada gives him a copy of the Word of God. Mentoring in the faith centers on trusting the Lord and teaching obedience to the Word of God. Catch this. Mentoring in the faith centers on trusting the Lord and teaching obedience to the Word of God. And according to the scriptures, 2 Chronicles 24, verse 2, Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada the priest, until he died at age 130. Joash did what the Word of God required in repairing and restoring the temple in Jerusalem. Joash had been influenced at his own initiative now, not because Jehoiada said so, but because the Word of God said so. Joash did what the Lord God required on his own in repairing and restoring the temple in Jerusalem. He even corrected Jehoiada. He asked the question of Jehoiada, why have we not been collecting the taxes for the temple that's required in the Word of God? And so then Joash commands Jehoiada and the Levites to collect the taxes for the temple of God, so that it may be repaired, so that it may be restored, so that the worship of God might take place in Jerusalem. Joash did what the Word of God required in repairing and restoring the temple in Jerusalem. Wow. What about today? I think the principle is the same, that mentoring in the faith centers on trusting the Lord and teaching obedience to the Word of God. We don't want our children merely to know the Word of God. We want them to know the God of the Word. So that we want them to be able to trust the God of the Word even as they know the Word of God. So mentoring in faith centers on knowing and trusting the Lord, knowing the God of the Word. And in turn then, because we know the God of the Word, we want to learn to believe all that God's Word teaches. We want to trust all that God's Word promises. We want to obey all that God's Word requires. Jesus himself put it this way in the great text on disciple-making, the Great Commission. Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And what else? What's the third aspect of disciple making? Teaching them to do what? Obey. Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So if we want to exercise spiritual influence on the next generation by coming alongside a child in need of Christ, or in need of growing in Christ, in need of knowing the love of God and experiencing the certainty of his word and the joy of following Jesus, then we need to be with them. And as parents, it begins at home, as parents, read the Bible together. Study the Bible together. Explain God's word to your children. And then make obedience attainable. Make obedience attainable. So we're going to put that into practice corporately this summer. Parents, if you have children in Sunday school, this week you're going to receive a letter describing summer Sunday school. Our tradition as a church is that when we get to July and August, we give our Sunday school teachers a break before they break. And then we have substitutes for the summer. Well, this summer we're going to do something different. You'll notice it in your bulletin, and I'll just read the announcement. This year, summer Sunday school will be family Sunday school, because our responsibility is to come alongside, support, and equip you as a parent in disciple making. So beginning next Sunday, Sunday, July 2nd, we will meet in the gym as family groups for Sunday school. We'll have tables, round tables set up, and you'll sit together as families. And if you're just one or two, you can kind of combine. But we'll come to tables as parents and children, and we'll gather at those tables to engage God's word together. We're going to be exploring over 10 weeks a part of the book of Daniel. And we'll be guided by Kay Arthur and by Jenna Arndt in their inductive Bible study methods for children. And now, you may not be a parent of a child in Sunday school, but I want to say there's room for you at a table. There's room for you even if you don't have a school-age child, because we need people at those tables who love children, who are willing to support parents in the discipling of their children, who might join a single parent or facilitate learning for children whose parents don't attend First Free but are here on Sunday after Sunday. We need people to come alongside and be that model disciple and to open God's word with them for 10 weeks during summer Sunday school to begin to mentor them in what it is to read the Bible and study the Bible and understand the Bible and to learn what it is to obey, to learn what it is to believe all that the Bible teaches, to trust all that it promises, and to obey all that it requires. Now, one final observation from the life of Joash and the mentoring of Jehoiada. Spiritual parents can come alongside, and truthfully, our earthly parents, we as parents, we can come alongside our children. We can model what it is to be a devoted Christ follower. We can mentor them in the ways of God, and we can pray for them, but we cannot guarantee the outcome. Listen to the observations of Warren Wiersbe, former pastor of Moody Church, on Joash. Joash was a miracle boy because his evil grandmother, Athaliah, had killed all his siblings and he alone had survived. The future of David's line and the messianic promise rested on this little boy. How often in Jewish history Satan tried to kill those who were part of God's plan. And yet the godly high priest, Jehoiada, protected Joash and then installed him as king. At the same time, Jehoiada saw to it that Athaliah and her followers were put away. Through the continued spiritual influence of Jehoiada, the king brought about many reforms, especially the restoring of the temple. When the high priest died, however, the king made the same mistake that Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, made and listened to the counsel of his peers. And Joash ended up killing Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, instead of heeding the message from the Lord and repenting of his sin. It's recorded in the scripture that when Jehoiada died, that Joash listened to his peers and ceased doing what? Ceased doing right in the eyes of the Lord. So Dr. Wiersbe says, Joash is a warning to all who would profess to do God's will, but don't really have the love of God in their hearts, if your faith is propped up by someone else, if your faith is propped up by grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, a brother, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, what will happen when the prop is gone? You need to trust Christ. With all your heart, you need a Savior who rules upon the throne of your heart. We are each personally responsible for trusting Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we cannot enjoy the blessings of God forever apart from a personal faith in Christ. But that does not nullify the value of us as Christ followers in coming alongside children, of being before them a model of what it is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and mentoring them in what it is to trust the God of the Word and learn to trust the Word of God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the examples of men and women in Scripture. And today, we thank you for the example of Jehoiada, who exemplified what it was to come alongside an infant son, one who would rule on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And his heart concerned that he know you and trust you and live and rule according to the teaching of your word. Gracious Heavenly Father, you have entrusted to us as parents, children, as a church, children. We pray, dear Lord, that we may be good stewards of the opportunity that we have to have a godly influence on the next generation, one child at a time. May our faces, may our countenance, as we walk the halls and work with these children, reflect the joy of the Lord. In his name and for his glory, amen.